Hello,
a very warm welcome to Fireside Chats. I am Magla Pillay and I'd like to introduce you to our speaker, an experienced practitioner of Raja Yoga meditation for many years. Today's topic is entitled Yoga of Sovereignty. In this series, we look at a variety of subjects surrounding spirituality. We ask you, the viewer, to take a good look into your heart and ask yourself, is your inner world balanced with your outer world? Is there anything in your life that you'd like to change on the inside as well as the external? And are you satisfied with your relationship with God, or would you like to make it more meaningful and deeper? Sister Denise, a very warm welcome to today's show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. Tell us, the Yoga of Sovereignty, what does that mean?
The name is Raj Yoga, and Raj Yoga translates as the Yoga of Sovereignty, the Kingly Yoga, the King of all Yogas. So there's a number of different angles on it. So out of all the possible yogas, Raj Yoga is the sovereign, the main one, the most all-encompassing, the king of all yogas. And another important meaning is that if you practice Raj Yoga fully, then that makes you a king of your inner world. And if you do that, then that is going to make you a king in the outer world. So anyone who is interested in being a leader, in serving, in taking care of a large population, in serving the whole world, if they study Raj Yoga, it will provide them with the qualifications to do that. But of course, the primary qualification is you must have full command over every aspect of yourself. So it is essentially the sovereignty of the self.
When you say every aspect of the self, could you give us a demarcation as to what you mean by that? You're referring to the soul and the body?
Well, of course, when you're in action, the soul and the body are combined. So the combined condition of a person, the incarnated soul, but more than anything, it's the inner. And so the inner components of the self, well, you have your, what's known as your ministries, your mind, your intellect, your sanskaras. These are the ministers that enabled the king to get his instructions out to the people, which are your sense organs, or your organs of karma, your hands, your feet, your eyes, your mouth, etc. So, you know, when a person says, oh, I didn't mean to say that, or I didn't mean to do that, or what I did was a mistake, that means you're not a sovereign. Because if you're a sovereign, you wouldn't do mistakes. And everything you would say would be what you mean to say. So the process of becoming completely the master of everything that occurs through your body, through your mind, through any of your actions, if you are absolutely the master of that, then you are a successful Raj Yogi. You have achieved self-mastery or self-sovereignty.
What is the motivation for one to lead such a life? Does something happen that brings one to this journey? Or, you know, you're sitting at home minding your own business when there's a flash of light? Or, you know, does someone knock you over the head with a baseball bat? What is the motivation?
I think that whenever anybody makes a mistake, they feel pretty embarrassed. And when you do something wrong, perhaps because you were deceived or, you know, pushed or something, you know, it makes you feel really bad, and you have to take the consequences of your actions, which also doesn't make you feel good. So I think the reason why a person would want to do this is because they want to feel good about themselves. They want to be right with themselves. They don't want to spend their entire lives regretting what they're doing. People are, I think, motivated internally by the urge to improve, the urge to be better. You know, I always want to be a better me, that kind of thing.
Sister Denise, the obvious question that arises, or issue that arises when somebody is practicing what you just described, is an enormous amount of, well, it's called resistance, it's called, the back wash is too strong, it's called gravity. There are many words to describe that you're going in a spiritual direction in everything, and sometimes everyone is pulling you in the opposite direction. How does a practitioner of Raj Yoga meditation handle such resistance?
I think the best way is to compare what you're doing to a person who is learning an art, whether it's dance or music, or they're pursuing an academic discipline, or they're writing, or something like this. Anywhere that you want to achieve excellence in any discipline, you will experience the same problem. The resistance is too hard because you're striving to achieve something special. And so the art and science of Raj Yoga is no different from any of the other arts. You know, although we use the term easy Raj Yoga, it's not that easy. So it's easy to move along a little way. But if you really want to reach a stage of sovereignty, then it means you're going for the stage of excellence, which means you have to put in the effort, and then you will get out of it, you know, proportionately to what you put into it.
And Sister Denise, you stated that if you're going towards excellence, you put in the effort. There are two types of resistance one faces. One is resistance from the outside, and the second is resistance from the inside. In other words, your own mind, your own personality. Could you describe in detail how one manages both? Yes, if you're striving for excellence, there will be a pull towards the opposite. But how do you manage? Do you need the same set of skills to manage the outside and the inside, or do you develop a different set of skills?
I think if you develop concentration, that's very important, because there's, you know, a lot of the resistance takes the form of distraction. So if you make yourself fully concentrated, you are unable to be distracted by the distractions because of the intensity of your concentration. So in the yoga of sovereignty, one who develops the power of concentration is likely to succeed. If you don't, you won't. So power of concentration is very essential. Then there's another thing, which is determination. You need to be determined to do it, because that's a force that is stronger than the resistance. So developing the power of determination is very essential. Mm-hmm. Then I think you have to have a lot of faith in yourself, and that you can and will succeed. So these are some of the ingredients that enable you to resist the resistance. And then you also have to have the intention to make it, and then you do make it. So it's all to do with will and focus and purpose, and almost as if you sense, yeah, I am destined to do this, and therefore I will do it, and nothing, I will not allow anything to get in my way. Mm. So I mean, you have to be very clear about it. And when you do experience all the resistance and obstacles and so on, well, be prepared for that to happen and cross the obstacles as they come, because that's part of the process. There will be obstacles, and one of the things that you become as a sovereign yogi is also described as a destroyer of obstacles.
So Denise, within the practice of Raja Yoga meditation, one invests all of this energy, and it seems like an intense amount of internal energy that you're investing in yourself. What is the reason? What is the end result? It's you qualifying yourself to do what or to become what?
This is included in the word Raj Yoga. You're wanting to become a king.
Of what?
A king of yourself, a king of your circumstances, a king of the world, and that is the highest achievement possible. So, you know, in a sense, you can say it's a big competition and you're competing against circumstances, other competitors, the inside, in a similar way to anyone who is, say, an athlete who wants to become a world champion or something like this. You know, when you pursue Raj Yoga, as far as it can be pursued, it takes you to an extremely high position. And of course, there is great reward, great prestige, etc., etc. If you are finding yourself doing this, you know, you have to all the time look within and see, you know, what's going on here. Am I really able to do this? Do I want to do this? What does this mean? What is a king? You know, to be a leader who damages people is very, you know, all over the place. You see that. But that's no point, you know, that's very, very short-lived. A king who is the sustainer, who is the protector, who reaches that stage where you ensure that the world is in harmony and in peace and everything is going well. The only way that you can do that is to be as much like God as you possibly can. And so because God is the teacher of Raj Yoga, God gives you his company and his mind and his intellect and says, if you want to do this, I will help you to do this, but then you have to put in the time and energy and effort. And this is really, I think, the highest motive is that you wish to serve, not that you wish to, you know, a desire for power, because that's a very corrupting thing. Of course, you need to know how to manage power, because power will come to you. And so power is dangerous because it is so corrupting. But if you have the power over somebody's life, say, but you have the heart, the wisdom, the love, that what you will do is absolutely for the benefit of that person, carrying that person forward. So a king is the one who, you know, carries the people, rather like a parent carries the children forward, something like this.
Okay. So Denise, you're dressed in white, and I take it from your life that this is all that you do. Does somebody who is a family person, who has a job, who has a normal life, in inverted commas, how does one lead that life and the life that you're leading simultaneously? The reason I'm asking this question is because if one looks to the East, being a yogi is something that people have made into a full-time profession, because it takes all of one's energy to master and a lifetime to master. So can one do both, and can you be successful both sides?
I think you can, because you know, whether you're leading a life with your family, with your colleagues or whatever, at work and so on, you know, there are tests at every step. I mean, if you say, okay, I'm a dedicated Brahma Kumari, I live in the ashram, I don't do anything else except this, well, you still have to go to sleep at night. You still have to look after yourself. You still have to eat. You still have to interact with other people. You still have to, you know, work on your computer. You still have to do correspondence. You still have to, you know, interact with people. So it's not as different as you might think. And so I think that there is this expression that is part of the practice, that is to be a trustee. And if you're in a family, well, you're still a yogi and you're a trustee of that family. If you're in an ashram, you're still a trustee of that ashram and all the activities and people and property and whatever. And so you may find some difference in the tests, but overall it ends up being the same thing. Are you a master of your thoughts, your feelings? Do you, you know, how exactly do you handle your responsibilities? How do you interact with people? How do you handle the people of who will do what you want them to do? You have power. Are you taking care of their needs? Are you taking care of their heart? Are you looking after them properly? Because, you know, your household is a kingdom, your ashram is a kingdom, your office is a kingdom, insofar as all of the things that are the challenges for a person, they are quite similar. So I feel that regardless of the circumstances, God, who is the teacher, is going to grade you, taking into consideration the circumstances, and see now who is fit to, you know, take care of a people, a kingdom, a land. You know, do you care? Do you love, or are you selfish? Are you corrupt, or are you, you know, really clean? Do you know how to manage power, or will it corrupt you? You know, these are all the tests that a student of Raja Yoga must face and take and pass.
Yeah, okay. Sister Denise, you mentioned God's role in it earlier, but I'd like to ask you this in this context. It seems to me that, well, you get your inspiration from him, as it were, for want of a better word. What is his pivotal role in your spiritual journey? You mentioned teacher.
Yes.
What else does he do? Because there are teachers of other types of meditation, but what do you learn from God that you cannot learn from humanity?
I think that one of the important attributes of God is God sets up the kingdom of heaven. This is what God is famous for. Or God transforms the world from its current chaotic state into something perfect, which is called paradise or heaven or whatever. So what is that? It's a world order where everyone is self-realized, where everyone is pure, where everything moves according to, you know, the natural laws. And I think that, you know, for me, God is pivotal in establishing such a thing and is inviting me to make myself learn, to acquire skills, to be part of such a world. And as I become more suitable, competent, equipped, or whatever, so much am I a good instrument for that. So it's all to do with that.
Okay. And Sister Denise, something Something that a lot of people seem to believe is that if you have God in your life, that sorts out all your problems. You don't have problems, and one hears the expression quite often, nothing bad will happen to me because I have God in my life. Is that true? And has that been your experience?
I think that, you know, maybe there are people who don't like problems or who don't like bad things happening, but I think that I would have a different angle on it. That let the problems come, and my connection with God, my having God as my teacher, is going to enable me to manage those problems so that I become skilled in dealing with them. That is going to increase my competency and my experience, my expertise. And if something bad happens, then I have to be good at managing bad things. I am not really trying to have no bad things or no problems. That I would consider to be an avoidance of things which exist to help me to be more competent, more able, more skilled. So that's not my angle on it.
Okay, so an experienced practitioner of Raja Yoga meditation will not so much focus on the problem, but will hone his or her skills as far as handling life is concerned.
You know, if I'm trying to be a surgeon, I'm not going to be satisfied by doing appendectomies, you know. I'm going to want to increase my skill, and I'm going to go for the things that are more and more and more difficult, because that is going to enhance my skills. I think the same for a Raj Yogi.
Okay. That is a very different perspective from the non-meditator, I have to admit, because most people run from problems or try to avoid them or numb themselves against it. And this is very different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sister Denise, is there any last words that you'd like to leave the viewer with before we say goodbye to you today?
I think I would like to encourage everyone to look at themselves and really see the value of not running away from difficulties and problems, and really get an angle on these things, that the purpose of these problems is to make me more experienced, more skillful, less afraid, that the only reason these problems and difficulties come is to enable me to move forward on my path. So never to think that bad things are to be avoided. Bad things, problems, whatever, they're there for a reason, you know. And so my attitude towards them is they're more like opportunities than difficulties.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you so much for sharing not just words, but your spiritual experience. Thank you for joining us. There you have it, the Yoga of Sovereignty. Sister Denise has shared what it means to be a Raj Yogi, how she handles what is an obvious resistance from the external as well as from within one's own mind. The best aspect about Sister Denise's sharing is that it shatters a lot of illusions that people may have had about what it means to be a yogi. She said that one can lead a family life, one can have a vocation as well as practice Raja Yoga meditation. She also shared how one deals with things like resistance and the various obstacles, and how one manages life and all that life sends in your direction using the skills that she has learned from Raja Yoga meditation. So I hope that she has whet your appetite as far as meditating is concerned, and I do hope that you were able to learn something and move forward spiritually as well. So thank you so much for joining us, and goodbye.